Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word tonight comes to us from our first scripture reading tonight, Luke chapter 1. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Luke chapter 1 tells us that Joseph and Mary also was of the house of David, or a descendant of David. Now that's King David to you and me, the one who killed Goliath, the one who wrote many of the Psalms that are in the book of Psalms in the Bible, a fellow who was described in Holy Scripture as a man after God's own heart. And so they were of the house and line of King David. But that was almost different than how things ended up. They could have ended up differently. It could have been that they were of the house of Eliab, who was David's older brother. Let me read for you the account from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to the prophet Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself from among his sons." Now when they entered, Samuel looked at Eliab, the firstborn of Jesse, and he thought to himself, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And so it was that Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your sons?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's out tending the sheep." They did not even bother to call in David. But where man did not call, God did call. And God appointed him to be the king over his people. And then, of course, down many long years to Joseph and Mary and our Lord Jesus. Well, if you go beyond that Bible verse and you open your Bible to other pages, you're going to see something. You're going to notice a pattern. And the pattern is that the Lord has a way of choosing the least people to accomplish his greatest purposes. Now you might hear that and someone might say, "Yeah, but what about Samson?" Remember Samson from the Bible, the fellow who was supernaturally strong? And he was supernaturally strong, but if you read the account, you see that Samson sure made a mess of things. And he made a mess out of his personal life as well, too. What about Solomon? It is true that Solomon had supernatural intelligence and wisdom. And yet, he let idolatry and false belief make inroads into his kingdom. And beside that, though, for every Samson or Solomon you might find in the Bible, there's not many of them. There are countless other people who had no strength, who had no power, who had no wisdom, who had no allies, who had no connections, who had no options. Matter of fact, St. Paul in the New Testament writes to some of these people, and this is what he said to them. He said, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to consider your calling by the Lord," because they were called by God to be Christian people. He said, "Consider your calling, that there were not many who were wise among you according to the flesh. Not many of you were mighty, not many of you were noble, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God has chosen the base things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not, so that by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus who became for us wisdom from God. Jesus who became for us righteousness from God. Jesus who became for us sanctification and holiness from God. Jesus who became for us redemption from God. His shed blood to wash you clean. So that, just as it is written, let that person who boasts, boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Well, true to form, tonight on Christmas, the good Lord chose the least people to accomplish his greatest purpose. He chose Mary, teenage girl from a small village, and she becomes the mother of our Lord. He chose Joseph, the carpenter watching over his little family. He chose the shepherds, and the angels came to them and brought them the message of salvation in Jesus. The Lord chose the wise men, men who practiced astrology, something the good Lord said, that's not the path you go down. But you know what? He came down to them. He came down to their level, and he put a star in the sky so they could understand what was going on, and they could be led to the Savior Jesus. And together with that list of least people, finally the Lord sends a baby. He sends a baby whom he says is going to be the atonement for the sin of the world, so that sinful people might be forgiven and given a place in everlasting life with the Lord. Once again, the New Testament talks about it. It says, he existed, this is God the Son, he existed in the form of God, but he didn't regard equality with God something to be held on to. Rather, he emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in appearance as a man, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to his Father to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christmas, God came into the world. Not just a prophet, not just a preacher. That's good, but God himself came into the world to do something that only God himself could do. He came into this world close to the bottom, and he worked his way all the way to the bottom to give you and me a future. Surprising? I don't think so. Because it seems to me that always through the least, the Lord has a way of accomplishing his greatest purposes. He doesn't worry about strength. He doesn't care about power. He's not impressed by wisdom. He doesn't care how many allies you have or how many connections you have or how many options you have. And above all, the good Lord doesn't care about what merit you have, because that's not the way that he judges things. Too many people think that about God. They think that their random and scattered good deeds and their attempts to be a nice person in this crazy world will somehow wash with the Lord and count for something. But it's not the case. Far wiser was the believer who said, Lord, even our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. All of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. Somebody who talks that way is somebody who knows the power of their own sin. Somebody who knows the helplessness of their sin. Somebody who knows the stain of their sin. Somebody who knows the only thing that's going to wash with the Lord is the shed blood of Jesus, God's Son. And so, your salvation, your redemption, your atonement will all be by the gracious favor of God, or it's not going to happen. The battle has to be the Lord's. The victory has to be the Lord's. The glory and honor must be the Lord's, so that no human being may boast before the Lord, except in this, There is one thing you can boast about. We sing about it in an old hymn. How does it go? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Lord, I'm a person of sin, but you pardoned me, you forgave me, you cleansed me. How do I know it? Well, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He's not a helper, someone who comes and finds good people and then tries to make them better. No, he's someone who comes and he finds nothing and he makes it into something. He's someone who comes and finds sinners and makes them into children of God and takes them into everlasting life. But what do you expect? That's what the Lord does. He takes those who are the least and he brings about his greatest purposes so that we, like the shepherds, having seen and heard all of these things, can go around and bring praise and glory to the Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen.